The following program contains explicit language and an open contempt for what is likely the most respected profession in the world. Your children will be easy to deal with if they believe authority figures know better than they do. You would be easy to deal with, too. May we all be innocent again someday. You wait your turn to speak. You sign your name on a list with all the other names. You try not to notice the people around you, coughing to nothing, filling the room with their contaminated air. You share that air, but it's inevitable. You might die a little faster with their help, you might have to take a day off work. It'll be a little less attractive. No one will want to take care of you. Your friends will resent you for wasting their time. What seems to be the problem, the doctor says. Oh, nothing, you reply. Just tales of insecurity. Hello, welcome to another episode of Tales of Insecurity, the foremost podcast in the overpopulated genre of postmodern existential horror and bemused alienation. Does bemused mean what I think it means? A portmanteau of befuddled and amused? That's what I want it to mean. For the purposes of this introduction, assume it means that. It should be fine if I use words however I want, as long as I tell you what I'm doing, right? Who am I? I'm Leah Lindsay Chen, your host and curator. I made all this happen. I accept all the blame. It's a little harder for me to take credit for things, so while it might be more correct to call myself the creator of the show, the writer, the visionary, that's horrible. I hate that. I'm not going to say that. I said it just now, but it was in quotation marks. I wrote all the words in it. I made the music. I performed the roles. I recorded it and mixed it. And if there's anything wrong with that, and there are lots of things wrong with that, I'm sure it was me. I messed it up. I'm here in my Swede's apartment, talking to myself, trying to get over the flu or whatever it is I have, and I'm sorry if I'm a little low energy this episode. He would have done the same if you were me. It's really not that I'm a control freak or anything like that. I just don't have anyone to collaborate with. I want to collaborate. I just don't know how to start that conversation. I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want to inflict any unnecessary responsibility on anyone. Sorry, I don't know why I'm so worried about taking a leadership role. I keep telling all the HR representatives who could have given me a job that I think I would thrive in a managerial position. I might not be a good enough liar. My darling tells me I have a complete inability to leave ambiguity in anything I say, and that I think of every possible way every statement I make could be misinterpreted and go out of my way to define my terms so that the interaction goes precisely according to the plan I made before the conversation started. I'm really not a control freak. That phrase is ableist anyway, but so is everything, I guess. Do you know about ableism? It's one of those isms that's so ingrained in society that it's sort of taken as a given. I feel it's not talked about enough. It's the implicit bias the world has toward the able-bodied, the able-minded, the people for whom structures are made. To a certain extent, all isms are ableism in a way, because the ruling class forms its prejudices about various others on the basis that they will be less equipped to handle the responsibilities they're so proud of. The Founding Fathers justified slavery with all kinds of pseudoscientific rhetoric about the shapes of brains and bodies. Starting with the premise that white people were better equipped to run the world, they collected evidence of any physical difference and cited them rigorously as their manifest destiny. They saw it as the responsibility of property-owning white men, however they had acquired that property, to take care of the people, I say that pejoratively, who weren't as able to be assertive, I say that even more so. Kipling's White Man's Burden comes from the belief that European models of society are so much better for everyone and that it needs to spread and be enforced for everyone's good, presumably. This was also the belief of the Puritans, who heard the New World was a home for religious freedom, which they had to stamp out at whatever cost. The Nazis, as well, found white man's burden too much to bear and tried to circumvent it in the most gruesome way possible. The whole Cold War was presupposed on the worry that two groups of white people with different systems each wanted theirs to be universal, because theirs was great and the other was evil, and they were dealing with white people who were good at getting their way. Oh, this is very tiresome. What is this, a history podcast? What is this, a racism podcast? I'm tired. White culture has taken over so much of the planet to the point where it's difficult to find anything else. American missionaries still travel all over the world, bringing along cadres of little white teenagers who want to save the souls. Cute little privileged children who know nothing about anything approach long-standing civilizations and pretend they have some wisdom to share. The locals pretend to be fascinated. They need the money. Thanks for the goat and the Coca-Cola, your only responsibility. This cultural dominance happens on a smaller scale, too. Within the course of your day, everyone you interact with has an idea about how everything is supposed to go. And on some level, they believe their idea is universal. They are normal. Everyone is normal. Everyone knows what normal is. They have learned over time a strategy for continuing to be alive in a cruel, uncaring world. And this is a lesson anyone could have learned.
It's common sense. I don't like it, but it's just the way things are. The sooner you grow up and accept it, the happier you'll be.
Common sense is what they call it when they can't tell you why it's true. Almost everyone has given up. They want you to give up too, so they have another person just like themselves to repeat the same lies to, reinforcing them.
I thought this was supposed to be a comedy show. What the hell is this?
I've never been a very good liar.
This is the weirdest damn thing I ever heard. Who listens to this shit?
No one, really. No one.
You should make a show like that, what was it called? That Garrison Keillor guy on the radio.
I guess my Coca-Cola ads are distressingly similar to his rhubarb pie shtick. I hope I've got a little more claws and teeth than he does, though not in the sexual harassment sense.
Nah, I don't believe it. That show is too wholesome. I'm pretty sure them women are just making it up. Women do that, you know.
Yeah, so today's show is Doctors Without Boundaries. We are talking about the gatekeepers of society and the depth of their grip on everything you think you are.
Good news, your test results came back, and it looks like everything is within normal range. Looks like you're not sick after all. You just think you feel bad because you're an attention-seeking child who wants a day off school for the rest of your life.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. I was worried there that something was wrong with me.
Nope, absolutely nothing, and I really can't empathize with you enough to accept that you feel pain. You're probably just ultra-sensitive to any sensation because it's your time of the month.
Yeah, okay, that's really not a factor for me.
What do you mean?
I'm trans.
Oh, okay then. Well, there it is. You're taking hormones, right? That's probably why you're having back problems.
But what about my breathing? What about flu?
Yep. Hormones can affect breathing, too, and it compromises your immune system, maybe. It's really not very well understood what hormones do to the body.
Do you think that's true? I'm pretty sure that's not true. I'm pretty sure there have been studies.
Miss Lindsay Chen, did you go to medical school?
No.
Did you go through a residency, repeated 80-hour work weeks for over a decade, always on the run, usually on call, never sleeping, saving lives day after day?
Not like that, no.
Okay, then. It's the hormones, and no one understands how they work. That is my opinion.
Why did the residency take you so long? I could email you a peer-reviewed study if you'd like to read it.
I wouldn't read it if you printed it out and put it on my desk. I wouldn't read it if you made an arrangement of it that synced up perfectly to the original cast recording of Hamilton. I wouldn't read it if you meticulously sketched it onto a set of contact lenses and forcibly glued it to my pupils. I do not care.
All right, well, thank you.
I'm here to help. Oh, and my staff tells me there's a problem with your insurance. Do you know what's going on with that?
No idea.
You should probably figure that out.
I'm probably not going to. I've never figured anything else out. I'm utterly bemused by everything, and all that comes out of my mouth are tales of insecurity.
Hi there, hi there, hello. Good to see you. So what brings you in today?
Oh, you know, nothing.
Well, that's fine. Lots of people go to the doctor for no reason. You wouldn't believe how many people I see were just nothing is wrong with them at all.
Yeah?
It's really incredible. It actually really boosts my self-confidence. Because as far as I can tell, the only reason people come into my office is to hang out with me. It's quite a compliment, especially with how much I charge.
Thank you, Doctor.
Alright, so, let's take a look at you. Blood pressure, 130 over 60, that's within normal range. 190 pounds, that's probably okay, that's about what I weigh, too. what's that with the chair? Doesn't matter, I guess. Go ahead and cough for me. Sounds good. You've got a healthy set of lungs there. Did you ever do marching band?
No, I'm disabled.
Back then, too? Well, I would have thought the wheelchair would be an advantage for certain things, like a bass drum or the tuba. Be a lot easier to carry just on your lap-like.
I never played the tuba.
They're big. That's their main thing. I never played one either. I was an oboe man myself. Got a scholarship to Juilliard, but I decided to be a doctor instead. No lumps, good. What do you do?
I'm disabled.
Oh, so you don't even work. Must be nice. I should look into some of that disability, too. Be nice to have a little of it from time to time.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I heard that about anorexia, too.
I mean, if I could just use the chair sometimes. Sometimes we're on a long shift, all I want to do is sit down.
Maybe you should sit down sometimes.
Nah, I can't do that. I get a reputation for being lazy. So I stay on my feet all day and sleep at night like a baby.
Just moving from my bed to the chair uses so much energy that I have to rest for half an hour at least.
Well, it's a good thing you have the chair to rest in. Go ahead and lift up your skirts and see what's going on down there.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Is everything okay?
Oh, fine. I was just checking to see if you had any feeling down there.
I do.
I can see that, so I was just wondering, why do you have the wheelchair?
Because I can't walk, or at least not very far.
Yes, but why can't you walk? I have this theory that most disabled people, they're just using their disability as a crutch.
Then what are my crutches for?
Don't be glib. This is serious. When are you going to stop feeling sorry for yourself and start living?
Probably sometime after you take your stethoscope off of my pussy. What are you doing down there?
Your attitude is the only thing holding you back.
Is that your diagnosis?
Doctor, your daughter is here.
Well, what is she doing here? Why isn't she with her mother? I have patients waiting.
I don't know, but she's here, and she told me she needs to talk to you.
All right, well, I'm going to be right back, but while I'm gone, I'd like you to think about a plan for getting out of that chair.
I've used an assistive device since I was a child.
All the more reason to pull that Band-Aid off as soon as we can.
She's in your office.
Thank you, Grace.
You're welcome, Doctor.
Rawr. Call me later. Just kidding. All right. Hi, Gwendolyn!
Daddy! Hi!
Your father's very busy today. Do you want to tell me what it is you had to say that absolutely couldn't wait?
Mommy said you'd be annoyed, but I had to come see you.
Oh yeah? Why is that?
Well?
Out with it.
Okay, so, you know how that girl at school's been bullying me?
Oh well, you know, honey, it's important to stand up to bullies. Otherwise, people will try to take advantage of you all your life. Once you start feeling sorry for yourself, it never ends.
Yeah, that's what she told me. So she made fun of me for my Lisa Frank backpack. Everyone started calling me Dolphin Girl. It was annoying. Anyway, that's all over now. I took care of it.
What does that mean?
She's not going to bother me anymore.
Honey, I know you think that sounds diplomatic, but honestly, it sounds kind of sinister.
Dad, don't be silly. I just did what you encouraged me to do.
Okay, so you made friends with her then, you stood up to her and she admired your moxie.
I wouldn't say we made friends, but she knows my name now, and it's not Dolphin Girl.
Darling, you're scaring me. Tell me you didn't do anything violent.
No, of course not. Not in any way that can be traced back to me.
It's like a soda or something. I've got some ginger ales here. It's a mixer, but you can have it by itself, I think.
No, thank you. It was all pretty simple. So there's this boy she likes, and they've been meeting together after school in various out-of-the-way places. All I had to do was find out where they were meeting, and the rest sort of took care of itself.
Honey, this routine is fun and all, but I really wish you would just tell me what happened.
She fell out of a tree. I called an ambulance for her. She's so lucky I was there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
Well, sort of.
Sorry, can you just tell me everything I need to know? I have patients waiting for me.
That's all you need to know. That's all I wanted to tell you.
Is she going to be okay?
She'll live.
I swear to God, dear.
Clumsy girl broke her legs. Who knows if they'll heal right?
Right, well, I'm sure she'll be fine.
Don't be too sure.
No, I mean, if anything, she gets to be disabled now for at least a little while. I'm sure you two are the best of friends now.
I was getting my revenge. I taught her a lesson.
No, honey. Now she's going to get all that sweet attention. People are going to be holding doors for her, going out of their way to help her. She's got it easy now. She's going to get coddled. Honestly, darling, if you were trying to get revenge, you messed up.
Oh. I'm sorry, and here I was, thinking I was turning into a badass.
Not hardly. And don't say badass, say bad butt. I raised you better than that. People bend over backwards for disabled people, didn't you know?
No, I thought I'd be, you know, worse. Worse than being able to walk.
No, everyone's always on their best behavior, worried they'll be in the way. Take a look next time you're out with your new friend. People just jump out of the way when they see you coming.
I had no idea.
Maybe I should start teasing you too. Maybe you can disable me.
Do you want me to?
Nah, I'm trying to help people here. Disability will be nice, but I'll save it for when I'm ready to retire. Now, if that's all you have to tell me, I have some work I need to do.
Okay, Daddy, I love you.
Yeah. Okay, hi there. Sorry to keep you waiting like that. Totally unprofessional of me. Here, have these coupons for some free medical care.
Is that something you offer here?
Okay, let's see. You're fine, right? I don't see anything wrong with you. I guess this bone density test that Dr. Malawarashi ordered for you says you might have osteoporosis, but you're too young for that. You can't have osteoporosis if you're under 35.
I'm 33. Pretty close, right?
Yeah, too young. Maybe in a couple of years we can do something about that, but for now, just drink a little more milk.
I can't have dairy.
Seriously? You are really a huge pain in my neck right now.
I'm sorry my health problems are inconvenient for you.
Okay, sorry. It's not my fault you can't walk. What did you say happened? You had an accident in high school or something?
No, I have a genetic condition.
Oh, really? I thought you said you were in marching band until you hurt yourself.
No, I didn't say anything like that.
Huh. Well, you shouldn't have picked on that girl.
Okay, now I have no idea what you're talking about.
People get what they deserve. I'm sure when you're ready to be healthy again, you will. It's not my fault. Stop trying to blame me.
No one's saying anything's your fault.
Great. Okay. Right. She said it was untraceable. Forget I said anything. Please schedule a follow-up for 3 months. Let's see how we're doing then.
Any advice for the meantime?
No, just keep doing what you're doing. Stay away from high places and gang violence.
Oh, all right.
See if you can walk around a little. It's really important to me that you get better.
Okay, I'll do it for you.
It's really important. I know you like the parking space and you like being the disabled girl. That's all fine. That's how you've defined yourself. But at some point, you need to stop your little frolic and rejoin us in society.
Sure, doctor. Sure. Okay.
You can do it. Believe in yourself. The only thing holding you back is you.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All ready to check out? How was your appointment today?
Good. It was fine. Best doctor's appointment I've had in a while, really. So he told me to schedule a follow-up in 3 months.
Okay, great.
But the baby's due in 2. Is that going to be a problem? Should I come in before that?
I'm sure it will be fine. Dr. Kirschenbaum knows what he's doing.
I suppose I might as well believe that.
He is a doctor.
He is a doctor.
Did that have a point? Ugh, God. Sorry, my mind's not really working 100% this week. I guess the idea was supposed to be that doctors are flawed people like everyone else, and they project their issues onto the people around them like everyone else. But their out of position of authority makes that trait more dangerous than it is for people at large. Would have been nice if that was clear in the text. Maybe it was. I can't tell. I can't tell anything. I'm still kind of feverish. Hi. Welcome back. This is Tales of Insecurity, by the way. If that wasn't clear, if you weren't looking at your phone, if you accidentally added this to your list somehow, if you just... Okay, let's take a look at our listener mail, which we still don't have any of, but that's okay. I don't really need validation. I've never had it, and it's not important to me, because I have a strong sense of myself, and I am fiercely independent. I represent that can-do spirit of the American dream without the imperialism. I don't even need to subjugate other people to believe in myself. I suppose I do create straw men of archetypes who irritate me, but let's ignore that. Oh, well, let's see. Let's be positive. Let's have some wishful thinking. Do we have a jingle for wishful thinking? I guess that's okay. Kind of dissonant for wishful thinking. Cognitively dissonant. Okay, let's see. Let's look for the best mail I could hope for. Right. Hi, Leah. Thank you for making such a beautiful podcast. It's funny and poignant and really helped me through a dark time in my life. I felt like I was completely alone, and you really helped put my problems in perspective, even though mine are ostensibly much worse than yours. Honestly, your problems don't seem bad at all, and listening to you complain about them made me feel like a stupid, whiny nobody, even though I intersect with many more margins than you do and have far more right to yell curses at the moon. You really helped validate my feelings of isolation, and now I feel special, knowing that my pain is of a more rarefied quality than almost anyone's, at least more than yours. Wow, that's a really complicated thought. It's an interesting thing, finding peace and pain. That'll probably be a topic for another episode, but I'm really happy that my depression isn't particularly notable or interesting. I don't have depression. My anxiety isn't that interesting. My whatever I have. I'm just trying to fit in, really. But don't think for a moment that I've revealed all my problems. I'm pacing myself. Still, it's good not to feel alone. Let's see what else we might like to see.
Dear Liam, I'm sorry I was so defensive about your gender identity. Now that I reflect on it, I can't see how it'd make any difference to me. And I think it's wonderful you've learned to assert yourself a little more. I spent so much of my life as a pastor serving a certain role to people that I never got a chance to understand who I am on my own. And I'm so proud and relieved that you will not share my mistakes. I may not always understand you or your ideas, but I love you. And I'm glad you're finding a little meaning in this boring, horrible world. Love, Dad.
Thank you, thank you. That means a lot, even if I can't do your accent. It means a little too much, actually. That doesn't sound like you at all. You should check the security on your account. I think you got hacked. I don't like it. I don't actually want that. I hate it. Ugh, what do I want?
Dear Miss Lindsay Chen, I represent a very specific talent agency, and we would like to commission your podcast with the option to turn it into an anthology program on one of the major streaming networks, probably. Maybe a network, maybe a TV network, but that kind of runs against your independent spirit, I would think.
Let's say Netflix, or better, a smaller, less ubiquitous service where you'll be a flagship product and we will pay you too much money. You'll get a whole staff of writers and composers and actors and key grips and all these other things you don't know anything about. Really, you'll lose creative control entirely and just be a figurehead of nothing, and it will inevitably fail, and because it has your name on it, you will take the blame. But you'll have a little money for a while, at least, and we're not going to take away your innate ability to do things, just your name and reputation and, of course, all rights to the Tales of Insecurity name. It's not that great a name, really. You shouldn't be so married to it. Let us know your decision within the next 4 hours, or else we will be forced to pass for someone a little more grounded in reality. This is a really difficult exercise. It's hard to figure out exactly how realistic I want to be. I don't really know how to wish, I guess. Let's try one more. Dear Leah, everyone gets universal basic income now, so you can just do what you're doing and not worry about having to make whatever you're working on anything but what it is. Or you can stop. There's really no responsibility. You can do whatever you want. Thanks for showing us the error of our corporate ways. We are happy to finally give back to the world that we have milked for so much. And we're sorry. Your friends at Coca-Cola. I knew that would pay off. I'm so proud. I'm so tired of my Coca-Cola shtick. Why did I start doing that? Sorry. What am I even doing? I'm tired of the fake mail stuff, too. If you have any comments or criticisms or anything, really, just let me know you're there. You can send it to talesofinsecurity@gmail.com or on Twitter at nohoperadio, NOHOPERADIO. Okay, now. So, let's broaden our theme a little. Doctors without boundaries. Doctors aren't the only authorities in your life who mean well, who think they're trying to help you while they enforce restrictive paradigms. There are others. Just for variety, let's check in with the allies.
There is no problem that we cannot fight. We can do anything because we are white. We're here to help. We're by your side. You can have anything you want as long as it's pride.
And of course, if we don't have to actually give up anything in order to help you, that would be good, too. Yeah.
All right, allies, assemble!
Ready for your command, Captain.
We're all here.
Begin the roll call.
Power of conflict mediation.
Power of apologism.
Power of white feminism.
And I'm the enforcer. With all our powers combined, we are...
The allies!
All right, allies, do we have any new business today?
Yeah, I have something. I don't like how you, the strong male lead, seem to be the de facto leader of our group.
Now, Corinne, that's not entirely fair. We are and have always been an equilateral collective of like-minded individuals, and maybe our system isn't perfect, but you can't expect society to change overnight.
Thank you, Randy. I believe that any sense of my leadership is problematic, but if I end up filling in that role, I assure you, it is purely a coincidence and has nothing to do with my class, race, or privilege.
Have they addressed your concerns, Corinne?
Not entirely.
What could they do to make you feel more at ease?
I don't know, Rachel. I don't know.
Brett, I think your acknowledgement of the problem is a great start, but without a plan for constructive change for the future, it might be difficult for Corinne to move on.
Golly, Rachel, he's trying his hardest to appease everyone. Surely Corinne can cut him a little slack.
No, Randy, Rachel is right. Let us not waste her emotional labor. We must fight against oppression wherever we see it, and never be victim to its wiles.
What about me? Am I right?
We're all right, my lesbian friend.
I'm picking up a distress beacon in the Gamma Quadrant.
Zooms! A citizen in trouble. Let us make haste to the scene.
I mean, I know that I don't get to say it, and that's fine, but sometimes it's just like the right word for the situation, you know?
Stand down, evildoer! You will not even consider uttering your foul epithets.
What? No. I wasn't gonna say it. I just think it's weird that it's like a magic word. I'd prefer if we could just strip it of all its power.
Golly, Brett. He's using the power of pseudo-intellectualism to deflect your hard-hitting justice.
My one weakness. Allies. Assistance.
So, what makes you think that you're any different when you say that word than when other white people do? Is it because you think you're special because you're a man?
No, of course not. I just don't have any hate behind my words. I'm not racist.
So what you're saying is you don't have any intentions of animosity informing your decision to use that word.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear you when you say that.
Jeez, everyone. Should we really be focusing our attention on this guy when there are more serious hate crimes going on?
Now, Randy. No infraction is too small for us.
But jeepers, you know, he said he was sorry. And he didn't actually do the thing he was thinking about doing.
It's a dangerous thought, though, Randy, and it leads to a slippery slope.
Our society is very quick to forgive the sins of the oppressor and gives them extra credit for doing what should be standard.
But that's a means to an end, Corinne. We have to incentivize sensitivity for those in power to willingly surrender any of their hegemony.
Golly, we're all just trying to do our best.
Hold on. I'm picking up another distress beacon.
What is it?
A woman in trouble. No, wait. It's a man. No, wait. I can't tell.
We should ask their pronouns.
I'll handle this. Citizen, don't say the N-word, ever. Great. Okay, let's go. Good afternoon, citizen. How shall I address you?
Oh, hi. I'm Leah. And you are?
Here to assist you. I guess what I mean is, what pronouns do you use?
Oh, sure. She, her. Thanks for asking. What pronouns do you use?
I should think that would be obvious.
Oh, well, I thought mine were too. So he, him?
I am a man.
Right. Of course you are. So he, him? What seems to be the problem, sir? Miss, or ma'am, if you're nasty. I'm so sorry. You were just saying he, him, and I just got confused. It's all right. It happens sometimes.
And golly, your hair's short, too.
No, I get it. We really don't have to dwell on it.
So what happened?
Nothing, really. I just had another job interview, and I know I didn't get it. They took one look at me, and I'm sure that they were put off by my transness. But, of course, there's no way to know for sure. I can't file a charge or anything.
That's awful.
It is what it is. It's not the first time.
Don't act so defeated, citizen. We are here to use our white cis privilege for your benefit. Now where is this threshold guardian?
Just in there.
Oh, geez. Danger, Captain.
What seems to be the problem, faithful friend?
I'm getting strong POC readings.
Oh, yeah. The hiring manager seemed to be West African. If I were to guess, I'd say she's from Ghana.
An immigrant.
And she's a woman. A real woman.
We may have to abort this mission, Captain.
He is not the captain. He has no authority over the rest of us.
This is a really dangerous situation. Can we handle this many intersections?
We have to try. We've sworn an oath to protect all marginalized people from systemic oppression. The system is so powerful that even the oppressed feed into it. We must fight for injustice wherever we must. I'm going in.
Would you like us to go with you?
No, I have to do this alone.
Are you sure?
I am. I'm afraid there's no way I could ever allow you to imitate an African accent. No, not on my watch.
Does she have to have a pronounced accent? Surely that's an unfair assumption on your part.
I just think it's safer if I handle this myself.
Good luck, Captain.
Thank you, Randy. I just hope we get out of this with our moral high ground intact.
Do you think he'll be all right?
It's hard to say. It's possible his bisexuality might be enough leverage to get the upper hand, but she does have a lot going in her favor.
I'm sorry, do you all think being a minority gives you more power or less?
We're trying to restore balance to an unfair system.
Your negativity is actually really unhelpful.
I read that gender dysphoria is a mental illness.
Careful, Corinne. Don't stigmatize mentally ill. They can't do anything about it.
I just think we're wasting too much time on this when real women are in trouble, too. We have to pick our battles, and I feel kind of bitter fighting for a person who's a little confused when there are legitimate women facing harassment and worse every day.
I'm sorry, though. In all fairness, I didn't ask for your help.
And he's not even grateful.
She, please.
Oh, sure.
This really doesn't seem like a productive conversation.
We're all just trying to get along here, ma'am.
Now, Corinne, why don't you promise Leah that you will be civil to her, even if you don't necessarily respect her gender identity and believe that her biology makes her inherently less womanly than yourself?
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I'm sorry for being so overtly rude. That was really uncivilized of me.
And Leah, why don't you stop being so entitled to special treatment just because you've elected to negate your male privilege? Surely you can't have it both ways? I'm sorry. Great. Now we're all on the same page.
All right, so I talked to Athaba, and she assured me that she really had no issue with your gender identity, that she didn't even know that there was anything wrong with it.
Yeah, I don't like the way you phrased that.
She showed me your resume and some of her more qualified candidates, and yeah, it looks like you've just been outclassed fair and square. So nothing was wrong. Seems like you've just got a persecution complex. You haven't done anything of distinction for the last 10 years. Why should anyone expect more out of you now?
Well, that's great news. Thanks for checking that out, Brett.
Yeah, sorry to put you all to so much trouble. Oh, really, it's no trouble.
We're happy to help.
And I've learned a lot about the issues facing the transgender community, even if they did not share in our essential shared girlhood.
You know, there are trans men, too.
Fascinating. I've never really noticed them.
I'm sure I've learned a lot, too.
Then our work here is done. Congratulations, everyone. We should have a party to celebrate.
Oh, Randy, I like the way you think.
Then it's settled. Everyone, let's reconvene at 2100 hours for Capers and Cavorhi.
Hooray!
Can I come?
I'm sorry, it's staff only.
Hooray!
Oh, you're not hiring by any chance, are you?
No, sorry, sweetie. Don't call her sweetie, it's patronizing. I'm sorry, him.
No, her was right.
You should take that as a compliment. She forgot which way you were going.
All right, allies, let's head out. But remember, wherever there is injustice, we'll be there. Wherever there is oppression, we'll be there. Wherever there are microaggressions emanating from unchecked privilege, we'll be there. Repairing those things, in case it seems ambiguous. We will be in opposition. We will not be doing those things. Exactly the opposite, in fact. We stand for the weak and oppressed, the pathetic masses who cannot speak for themselves.
I think they can, mostly. You just have to listen.
Shh. He's almost done.
We are the Allies!
Okay, so that was something. And I am supposed to say that we're on Stitcher now. They told me I'm supposed to talk about Stitcher in their thing telling me I was there, so I'm telling you about it. It's a podcast distribution platform. There's an app and stuff. You can listen to this show there and a lot of other ones. You can leave reviews and get recommendations for other shows based on shows you like. Maybe you don't like the way you listen to podcasts now. This is another way to do it. And it includes extra ads for Stitcher unless you purchase a premium plan. You can give them more money for the same functionality. Okay, I'm starting to lose control of this. Fine. Stitcher, podcast,
friendly voices in your ears to silence your own thoughts and make you feel less alone. Leave me a review so maybe someone else can find me, unless you want to keep me all to yourself, in which case, don't do anything. I also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate money to me. I mean, it's a long shot, but if you want to, I wouldn't want to stop you. I wouldn't want you to feel like you couldn't. So that's Patreon, patreon.com/nohoperadio, NOHOPERADIO. Okay, so, back to doctors. I'm not the biggest fan. I go to doctors all the time. Welcome back to Tales of Insecurity, by the way. Not really for myself, but with my sweetie and her twin, who are both disabled in ways no one but us seems to understand. So we see new doctors all the time, and each one hears how many doctors we've seen and wonder why no one so far has been able to help us. Then a few tests come back, and they tell us they can't interpret the results, and they suggest we see a different specialist. We've been doing this for years now. And every now and then we'll find a doctor who helps a little, but they always have waiting times of 6 months to a year. The only specialist around here for the connective tissue disorder they have has a 4-year waiting list, and she's the only one who treats Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, because it is a rare disease. You'd think that a 4-year waiting list might clue someone in that it maybe isn't as rare as advertised, but doctors don't really listen to feedback.
I'm sorry, is this going to be on the test?
There's no test. I'm just saying this to clear my head.
Oh, well, if there's no test, do you mind if I study for my organic chemistry final? I'm a little worried about it.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
You sure it'll be okay?
So, before doctors become medical students, they start as that annoying kid in undergraduate who does school the most pragmatic way, determining exactly what is expected of them so they can do just ever so slightly more in that dimension. They have no interest in any of the material or in anything else, except the approval of authority figures.
What in the Sam Hill are you talking about this time?
This is not the person I was, obviously.
You should form a clear thesis before you get too far into this project, or it's very likely your ideas will become diffuse.
Doctors are the people who weren't ever sick, not in the way the rest of us were and are. Whatever sickness they had, they were able to work through it, and they think that all sickness works like that.
You never did have any willpower.
I'm sorry, I'm having a lot of trouble taking notes on this lecture. Will you be providing an outline on Blackboard later?
I was terrible at school. I never looked at my grades. I was determined not to think about grades, under the assumption that if I formed a coherent understanding of the material, the grades would take care of themselves. This worked out in some semesters, the ones where nothing else was wrong.
You can't keep blaming your problems on external factors. Grades are the best interpretation we have of our position in society.
The semester I had seizures, I got every grade, A+ through F, the whole spectrum. Another, I had this month-long migraine. I can't even remember what happened then. I think I scared a lot of people. The pain kept me from sleeping. That whole time is just one long hallucination.
I'm sorry. Hi. I'm sorry. I think I might want to see your credentials as a professor.
What in the Sam Hill do you think you're doing?
Oh, dear. Is this really all you have to say?
College was a long time ago now. It doesn't seem to have mattered yet. You know, I was in a graduating class with Lena Dunham. We were both darlings of the same creative writing department.
Well, darling might be pushing it.
We both had our places. I might have been a little more fringe than she. I don't know. I only watched the first episode of Girls. I didn't really have anything to say about Lena Dunham. She has her own thing.
I'm sorry, is Lena Dunham going to be on the test or not?
No, I don't know anything about Lena Dunham or her lifestyle. The hedonistic upper-middle-class bourgeois navel-gazing millennial. I don't know my place in this world. What am I doing with my life? How do you do? That she's found her place in. That's her world. We're not in competition, although I guess there might be some overlap.
If you were in competition, though. She won. Like, she really won, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, she absolutely trounced you. She stomped you into the ground. You are about to spread roots, my dear.
Yeah, yeah.
Leah.
What is it?
Are you okay?
I'm sorry. I still got some flu left. I keep getting these dizzy spells, these cold sweats, but I feel like I'm just starting to get a feel for how to make this show every week. I'm risking everything on this, you know?
How so?
I stopped looking for work. Everyone, this is Michael Abbott. He's the villain of this show. He's some person who doesn't exist. I stopped looking for work. I got discouraged. Dozens of interviews, so many lies. The few times I represented myself accurately were the most awkward interviews of all. So I've decided to put all of my energy in this little show I'm making because it's something I can finish. It's something I can do that I'm proud of. They're short enough that I can get them out the door before I start doubting myself. I need to make the best effort I can to make them beautiful and interesting and something no one else can make, or else I've just wasted my entire life completely.
Okay, Leah, calm down.
I'm calm. I'm completely calm.
Sure, sure. It's all going to be okay.
So I'm making podcasts now. I don't answer the phone calls from my creditors anymore. This is the last month that I have service on my phone anyway, probably. All my payments are going to bounce next month. We're not even going to have internet. I guess I'll upload these episodes from the library. And I've already pretty much stopped eating, so I'll be good. I'll be fine. Maybe.
Leah.
What?
Calm down.
I'm calm. Stop telling me to be calm.
Leah.
What?
What are you going to do if you fail?
Failure isn't an option.
It's pretty much the only option. It's pretty much the only thing you've done your whole life. It's kind of your thing. You're a disappointment.
You're a disgraced humanity.
This is my death and rebirth. That's the narrative. That's how it works. The protagonist, which is me in my own life, wants something and shows agency. Then they go through a series of trials to come out equipped to handle those problems. The trials take them to their limit, past their limit, but they come out stronger.
Now you're making sense. Adversity is a trial to be overcome. Got it. I'm going to ace this thing.
No, no, no. That's only how it works in stories, which is the way we understand our lives, but isn't our lives. When we're terribly unlucky, we take it as a sign that the fates are intervening somehow, that it wasn't meant to be whatever it was. God never closes a door without opening a window. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Mind over matter. Those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. I'm gonna die.
Excellent. I think that's everything I need to know.
I'm not finished. I'm saying, even though stories are the way we understand our lives, we are fitting our lives to that mold, not vice versa.
No one can hear you, Leah. This whole podcast, this whole endeavor, is going to be just one elaborate suicide note. You need to get your life back in order. You need to do the safe thing for once.
If it is, as you say, an elaborate suicide note, then so be it. I will make the most elaborate note since Kierkegaard. I will download the entirety of my consciousness into a series of audio files so my body can rest.
Leah, if you're having thoughts of self-harm, you should really be discussing it with a therapist, not broadcasting it to the world at large.
I'm on a waiting list
for therapy.
Uh-huh. They told me I was a priority case.
Sure.
How long has that been? A couple months. It's okay. It doesn't matter. I know better than to talk about pain with doctors anyway. They don't know anything about it. And I'm not going to kill myself. Don't worry. I already have.
Oh, you're talking about me. I'm Leah's dead self. I'm her
if that wasn't clear, I'm her dead name in manifest form.
Thank you for making that completely clear. No, I'm talking about both of us. I got rid of you so I could live on my terms, but now I've reached a new low point of my own. But it's fine. I'm too logical to do any harm to myself. My life is already forfeit, so I can do whatever I want. I don't need to compromise the way other people do who want the things in life that everyone wants. I don't want those things, and so I can be free to do what I want.
So, Leah, what do you want to do?
This is my thing now.
But why?
Don't make me answer that.
It's a simple question.
I'm afraid I can't prescribe you any painkillers, but some of my patients have seen positive results with herbal tea.
What kind of tea?
Any of them should be fine. I can't say they have any official benefits, any medical benefits, but there's no discounting the placebo effect.
So they don't work?
No, they do. There's just no active ingredient that does the work.
That doesn't make any sense.
Nevertheless, it works, and I'm not going to prescribe you any painkillers, so sorry. There's an opioid crisis, you know.
Doctor, I am desperate. I need help.
Try the herbal tea. And if that doesn't work, come back and see me in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Oh, and my staff informs you there was a problem with your insurance, so today's visit will have to be out of pocket, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Great. Well, I hope the herbal tea works. It really should. As long as you believe in it.
And I went home. I already had some chamomile tea in my kitchen cabinet. Though I don't normally partake. I don't like that floral shit. I think my ex bought it, and I got custody somehow in the divorce. When the water came to a boil, I dipped the kettle over gently, letting the water trickle out in individual drops. If this was going to be medicine, I was going to treat it like medicine. It would be a tincture, an elixir, a potion, not just some Safeway brand water enhancer. After the fluid had steeped precisely 3 minutes, I measured out exactly 1 cup into a proper chalice. My regular assortment of coffee mugs didn't seem auspicious enough for healing medicine. I had to remind myself that this tea represented health. It was not a beverage. This tea would make my pain go away. The week before, something happened to me. I don't know exactly how or what, but some nerve in my spine got jostled in the course of my regular workday, and ever since, I've been in constant agony all over my body. Nothing abnormal showed up on the MRI, so no one could tell me why my body was attacking me so. All I know is I was sitting at my desk, transcribing subtitles, as I do, when my back slipped a little and something changed. In that moment, I had a new awareness of my body, which seemed so invisible to me before. At that moment, I knew all the edges of myself. I could feel my blood scraping against the insides of my veins and arteries and capillaries. I could have drawn a map of myself as detailed as any architectural document. I knew all my cells. They each carried knives larger than themselves. They were all too big for the space where they lived. I tell myself, the tea in my hand will heal me. The tea will make the agony stop. It will make my blood thin again. It will make my blood liquid again. Don't call it tea. This infusion will fill me, will ease me. I press it to my mouth and tilt my head back. The heat of it burns my lips, but that is a pain so minor it barely registers. When the blood knives started, I fell to the gray carpet in our office and screamed until the ambulance came to sedate me. I slept, but I still screamed. They secured my arms in place. They kept me in the hospital.
until I learned to stop screaming.
There now. It's not so bad, is it?
You cannot imagine the pain I am in.
I'm sure it can't be that bad.
Exactly. You can't imagine.
If it's really as bad as you say it is, you'd still be screaming, right?
You didn't like it when I did that either. But they released me. When I couldn't go to work, I lost my job. When I lost my job, I lost my insurance. They had no interest in me then. As I remember the tea in my throat, I realize I can't feel it, nor can I sense my blood slicing me apart long ways. I put my hand to my face just to see if I can still feel. I can. My hand is cold. Colder than my cheek, at least. I do not know whether my face is cool or warm. Warmer than my hand, at least. I wiggle my toes. They respond as they should. Everything seems to be in fine working order. Just a moment ago, my life had been a waking nightmare. Someone had replaced my bodily fluids with tiny shards of glass. But now they are smooth again. They are liquid. They are invisible. With my burden lifted, I go to sleep. Sleep is all I've wanted for so long. And now that I have it, I soak in it greedily. I do not know how long I sleep, but when I wake up again, it is still dark, or it is dark again. My insides are starting to attack again. Now it is more a burning sensation than a slice, a cold burn, an icy burn, but it is building into more. I burst out of bed and get to the kitchen as quickly as I can. I set my water to a boil and steep my tea 3 minutes, and I down it, and I am fine. The ice has melted. I breathe a sigh of relief. I might be able to do something today. Maybe I can find another job. My phone rings. Hello?
Hi, Miss Lee.
Yes, hello?
Yes, hi. This is Dr. Kirschenbaum. I just wanted to make sure that you were doing better.
Yes, actually. The tea worked. I feel much better. I feel better than I remember ever feeling.
That's good to hear. Then we hope that you'll be able to complete your payment soon.
Sure, sure. You'll get the money.
We like to keep our accounts up to date.
Of course, I understand, Doctor. Do you mind if I ask? The tea was really effective. How can that be?
Oh, well, pain is psychosomatic, you know. It's your brain telling you that something is wrong. The placebo effect works by convincing your brain that you're doing something to change the situation. Then your brain stops trying to get your attention.
I see. Thank you.
It's a really useful phenomenon. There might not be a limit to its applications.
And he hangs up. I think about what he said a while and realize he was trying to teach me something. It's a message. No limit. Even his name, Kirschenbaum, could be a clue. Cherry tree in German. George Washington chopped down a cherry tree, meaning I'm looking for something on the outskirts of the branches of Washington, D.C. I took a map. Germantown, Maryland. Perfect. But what could be there? I have no reason to stay where I am. I have nothing left here. I brew a supply of tea and put it in a thermos for the road, and I start driving. Maryland is only a few states away. I will be there by evening. The Pennsylvania landscapes are stark and empty, but they are indiscernible from actual landscapes. They might as well be full of mountains and activity. I might be seeing something, but it is dark. I cannot tell, but I believe I am seeing something. It is always dark now, but it might as well always be light. When I arrive in Germantown, I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go. The city is all townhouses and condos as far as I can see, office buildings and strip malls. It doesn't seem like the destination for a spirit journey, but I remember what Dr. Kirschenbaum told me.
No limit. You have to trick your brain.
And I see through the veneer of middle-class complacency. I see money and power all around me. This is the heart of government. This is the beating heart of humanity.
Congratulations, Miss Lee. You're in an elite group of individuals now. You've broken the code.
I check my surroundings. I'm not sure where I am anymore, but it doesn't matter. Wherever you stand, the world rises to meet you.
Have a seat, Miss Lee.
Who are you? How do you know my name?
We've been expecting you. I know all your life you felt there was something special about you, something different.
Yeah, but everyone thinks that.
That's true. It's the fundamental lie. It is the lie we believe to continue living, that our lives mean more to us than any other.
If it's so necessary, what happens when you realize it's a lie?
Then either you stop living, or it becomes the truth.
I see.
So which is it going to be, Miss Lee? You've chased the white rabbit down its hole, and now you stand at the gates of Wonderland. Do you go further, or do you climb back out, your tail between your legs?
I'm sorry, am I Alice or the rabbit in this scenario?
That's up to you. You can be the Queen of Hearts if you want.
Can it be the hookah-smoking caterpillar? I always liked that whole vibe.
No, sorry, that's Through the Looking Glass.
Oh, but it was in the movie.
They put both books together. It's those Disney adaptations, you can't trust them.
Wow, you're so literal. What about The Wizard of Oz? Did that fit into any of this at all?
You've come this far. Now you must make a choice. Before you, I have placed a red pill and a blue pill. The red pill will take you deeper into adventure. You will form an understanding of yourself that few have managed. Or you can take the blue pill, which is inert and made of sugar.
And he looks at me through his mirrored sunglasses. His eyes are empty, just a reflection of my own face. I watch him sizing me up, though I can't examine him with the same scrutiny. Who are you? I say.
Think carefully. Which one is it going to be?
You make an interesting case, young Scarecrow, I say, snatching the blue pill from the table in front of us. But you and I both know it makes no difference which pill I take. And I swallow. It burns in my mouth. It burns my throat. The pain in my blood returns worse than ever and goes away again as soon as I think about my chamomile tea. The man in front of me laughs, and the room between us becomes anything I want it to be, if I can just want something.
I'm really proud of you, darling. Whatever you end up doing, I will always love you. Now hurry up and go to school.
And she hugs me. My mother hugs me. It is a sensation as painful as any other. It is worse. It is incomprehensible. It is nonsense.
I hope you can complete your payment soon.
How much money do you want? What is money? Some kind of numerical evaluation of our place in society?
Yeah, that's right.
Great. Have all the money. I don't need it. I can form my own society. And I don't need doctors anymore. I don't even need tea.
Thank you.
I start living outside of my life. I can see the entirety of it from the outside. And I can go through it at the pace I like. Moments are stacked like paper, all on top of one another.
Hey, I like your dolphin backpack. Everybody, look at the dolphin girl. Hey, Flipper. How you doing, Flipper?
Yeah, I like my backpack too. My daddy bought it for me. And the bully goes away. I don't have that moment anymore. I can't even remember it. No one ever called me Flipper. That was never my nickname. That show never happened. Neither did Lassie. Or Mr. Ed, even. All the animal shows. Gone.
You're not really Chinese. Your eyes aren't squinty enough. You're supposed to squint more. I can see your pupils.
Aw, somebody's sleepy. Where's your face just like that?
Gone.
Okay, Rainy Lee, your word is barbecue.
Yes, may I have the language of origin?
It comes from Spanish.
May I have the definition, please?
A meal or gathering at which meat, fish, or other food is cooked out of doors on a rack over an open fire or a portable grill, or to cook in such a manner.
May I have the part of speech?
It can be a noun or a verb.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Even though Harriet was a devout vegetarian,
she looked forward to barbecues with her family.
Oh, that's nice. Tell me more about Harriet.
After graduating with a biology degree, Harriet wasn't sure what she wanted to do with her life, but her family assured her that they would be equally proud of her whether she focused on research or medical practice.
She sounds really ambitious.
They encouraged her to take a year abroad and offered to pay her expenses, but she thought she would learn more about life and what it had to offer if she abandoned her support structure and lived independently.
Harriet seems great. Can I be Harriet?
You may.
Great. Barbecue. Barbecue. B. A. R. Hyphen. B. Hyphen. Q. Barbecue.
Correct. You've done it, Harriet. You've won the county spelling bee. You'll go on to regionals next week. Do you have anything to say?
Thank you. I couldn't have done it without the help of my parents, who always helped me study all the words and do everything they can to encourage me to pursue every one of my passions.
Hey, you left out the mayonnaise again.
Sorry, I got distracted.
I don't want to go through this conversation every day.
I'm sorry, it's not a big deal. We can get more mayonnaise. I'm just dealing with a lot right now.
God, I don't think I'd ever let you operate on me. You might leave a sandwich in me.
I should have gone into research.
There's still time. What makes you think you want to be a surgeon anyway?
I don't know. I guess it's just what my parents wanted for me.
You can be whatever you want to be.
But I want to make you proud.
Harriet, we'll always support you, no matter what you want to do with your life.
What if I don't want anything?
Honey, did you get any toilet paper?
No, I'm sorry. I was too tired. I had a really long day.
I understand, but we still have to have toilet paper.
I'm sorry, I thought I saw some in there.
Yeah, but it's single ply. You know I can't deal with single ply. I have texture issues.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're a doctor, honey. You can afford another ply.
I'm still in residency. I still have a few years out before I'm making any real money. I have hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt now. I don't feel like I have money at all.
What's taking you so long?
These things take time. You can't expect everything to happen overnight. It takes a decade of hard work and a lot of luck, too.
Did you at least get my tea?
Yeah, I got it.
You should have some, too.
Sorry, I don't have time to think about tea right now.
You can be anyone you like, dear.
You can be anyone you want to be, Harriet.
Miss Lee, we tried running your credit card, but it seems your payment was declined.
Try it again.
All right. Oh, okay. Worked that time. No idea what happened before.
It's okay. I'm sure you made a simple mistake. Happens all the time. And I leave the appointment. I get into my car, a 98 Toyota Tercel. Why am I still driving this car when I could do anything I want? Why am I still eating rice and beans instead of anything nice? I don't even know what nice food is. Cake? What do people eat?
The only limit is your imagination.
I'm on call this weekend. My girlfriend wanted to go hiking, but I couldn't. She seemed upset, but she understood. Instead, we're pretending it's a rainy day. We're sitting inside, watching foreign films. I don't even speak German, but these movies seem more familiar to me than my own life.
You have to look at the screen, silly. Get off your phone before I break it.
I respect your lifestyle choices.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter a difference to me whether you were straight, gay, whatever. You're fine.
I have responsibilities, Karen. I can't just tune everything out. She looks at me, hurt. I don't know what she sees in me. I don't know what I see in her. I think maybe we both prefer a relationship without strong feelings, because then we can make it into whatever we want.
Would you like some more tea, my dear?
Please, I say. I hate her tea, but I drink it for no reason at all. Some of my patients tell me it helps them with pain, but I've never experienced pain. I bet they haven't either. Pain is psychosomatic, state of mind.
Do you really not have any clean cups?
God, I hate her. Just rinse out the ones in the sink.
Gross, why are you still living like a college student?
Sorry, darling, I've been busy. I love you. Pain isn't real. Pain is just your brain telling you to give up. Don't let your brain win.
Thank you for loving me,
she says, doing the dishes, cleaning the kitchen while our Vim vendor sits paused in front of me. Do you want some help?
No, I got it. You just fist your busy little heart.
And I wait. I hear her moving crockery. I smell the bleach. She's never cleaned this much. It's fine. She's doing it to spite me, but it's fine. It's practical. It's working out. I feel my heart freeze. The blood that flows from it is crystalline and jagged. It should hurt, but it doesn't. Nothing hurts. Pain is a state of mind. I check my phone, wishing someone was dying so I had somewhere to go. Someone is, I'm sure. Sorry, honey. I have purpose in my life. Gotta go. You wouldn't understand. Doctors only.
Tales of Insecurity is copyright 2018. Leah Lindsay Chen, Latchkey Studios. Usually there's a song at the end here, but we're running a little long. I'll save it for later. And I can't really sing right now. I've got the flu still, and I don't know. What am I even doing? I usually have a little monologue at the end too, and I didn't do that either. I didn't do a lot of things, but oh well.